Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to talk with you today about family. And I'd like to start out with a story from David's life. When David had been king for many years, his son Absalom rebelled against him and sought his throne and sought to kill David, his father. And so Absalom mustered an army. And David, when he heard of it, fled Jerusalem with his men, just as Absalom, his son, with his army, was coming in. And Absalom proclaimed himself king in Jerusalem. Then he took counsel how to deal with his father David. And he gathered all of Israel together to crush David. And David still, though, had Joab, the commander of his army, and many mighty men with him. And so the two armies drew together and converged for battle. But before the fighting, David gave a command to his leaders, to the commanders of his army. And he said, the king ordered, he said, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave orders to the commanders about Absalom. And so the two armies engaged. There was a great fight. And in the midst of the heat of battle, Absalom was riding along. He had very long hair. His hair got entangled in a tree. And the mule he was riding went on, and he was suspended above the earth and trapped. Joab, the commander of David's army, found him and put 3 darts into his heart, and the young men who were with him struck him down so that he died. Well, a Cushite came running from the battle to bring news to David. And it says here, the Cushite said, good tidings for my lord the king, for the Lord has delivered you this day from the power of all who rose up against you. So you can just see David go, oh, yeah. And then the king said to the Cushite, is it well with the young man Absalom? And the Cushite answered, may the enemies of my lord, the king, and all who rise up against you for evil be like that young man. And the king was deeply moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. Would that I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. I want to ask you a question. Why did David cry and weep? Why did he react in this way? Surely he had had victory over his enemies and foes before, and he'd rejoiced over them. Why was this case any different? What's the answer? Family, right? Absalom was his son, and he loved him. I share this story with you today because God has blessed us with family and with a bond, an invisible super bond with our family that is virtually unbreakable. Family is at the heart of our lives. And in life, we have no greater joys than with our family. Who was there when you were born? Your family. Who was there when you took your first steps? When you hit a home run, when you get married, when you have a baby, and when you die? Answer, family. And also, we have no greater pain in our lives than from family, either if they're suffering and something happens to them, or if there's fractured division and anger and strife in the family. There's no greater joys and no greater pain than we have in life, right? Than from our family. And so today I want to talk with you about family, the Christian family, and especially how can our families be bettered, healed, helped, made stronger through the grace and power of the Lord God so that we might be stronger and more blessed in these things and that our congregation would be stronger, as any congregation's strength is from the strength of its families. So, talking family, what's God say about this? What can we learn from his word? Well, I'll tell you, the first thing we can learn is that God is the author and designer of family. It says it in Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. A couple of lines later, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over everything that lives and moves upon the earth. So check this out. The very first thing God does, he makes man, he makes woman, and he says, go start a family. Have children together. So God designed it. It's at the very heart of our lives, and he's given a bond between family members, right? You see this even in nature. God made them male and female and said, go have babies and have a family. And there's a bond even in amongst the animals. Try to get between a grizzly bear mother and her cub. You won't do it again because there's this invisible bond that God has placed in them, and how much more in those whom he created in his own image, people. And even if you have a family where there's a daughter, let's say, where the father was a jerk, he was an abusive, perverted man who abused his daughter, she gets older, grows up in life, and she still can't seem to just get him out of her head, even though she wants to. Why? Because there's this bond that they have as father and daughter. But God designed and authored family, and he designed it to be a blessing. Say the word blessing. Is your family a blessing? I hope so. Second thing we understand is that God made our family to be a rock underneath our feet. When families face troubles, if their family is strong, it's as if you stand upon a rock. And when families face troubles, or even good times, if they're not together, if they're fractured and divided and broken, then it's like crumbling cliff underneath our feet. So communities, churches, countries, their strength is based on the strength of their families. God says, though, of the last days, of the end times, God says this, but understand this. This is 2 Timothy 3, Paul says to Timothy, but understand that in the last days there will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. So, do you think we see kinds of stresses and disobedience to parents and a decline in the family in our culture? It's said of Roman culture, the Roman Empire, the ancient Roman historians said our empire is falling apart because of the decline of the unity of the family. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But one thing I can say is that we can all see, I think, the family in decline in America today. Would you say? Would you agree with that? Let me give you a little example. Let's talk about America, the culture in which we live, and America and family around the world. It used to be, the good old days, it used to be when family, our culture was rooted in the idea of family, where there was mom and dad in the home with children in a single house. And this was reflected in things like TV shows. Let me give you some examples. Take you down memory lane. You ready? Remember this decades ago? Leave It to Beaver, I Love Lucy, Lassie, Family Ties, Brady Bunch, Honeymooners, Lost in Space, Little House in the Prairie, The Partridge Family, Eight is Enough, Happy Days, The Jetsons, The Flintstones. I mean, even the Flintstones teach us that family is the bedrock of society, right? Okay. Man, the 8 o'clock crowd, they're tough. Families, the ideal at least, was that families faced troubles, but they faced them together. At least that was the ideal. Nowadays, in 2012, if you want to look at families, reflected in of our culture reflected in TV, you can turn on ABC and see a show called Modern Family, which is about two gay men, lovers, who have adopted a son and are raising a son. In that same show, there's a granddad who's married to a 20-year-old Colombian model. If you turn on the Fox Network, you can watch a show called Arrested Development, where they have a man with an adulterous jailed father, an alcoholic mother, a gay sibling, and a son in love with his cousin. If you turn on HBO, you can watch a show called Big Love, where a man has three wives. If you want to turn on Showtime, you can watch The United States of Tara, which is a woman with multiple personality disorder, an openly gay son, and a daughter hooked on drugs. Years ago, we saw shows like Friends, where you have singles who are getting up there in years, and they're still living like they're in college. And then you have shows like Desperate Housewives. Now, the themes today, it seems, are singles, single-parent homes, divorced homes, broken homes, children living with parents who are not their biological parents, same-sex couples, and teenagers glorified, where this is like the pinnacle of life, to be young and wild and crazy and unwise, and parents are treated as stupid and obstacles to fun. Let me give you some statistics. The U.S. Census Bureau in 2007 said that there are 13.7 million single-parent homes in our country, raising 21.8 million children. Think about that. That means that 26% of all children, 21 and under, in the United States are being raised in single-parent homes. There's usually no dad around. He's gone. He's off with some other woman or multiple other women. So one out of every four children, probably more today, doesn't even have a father, doesn't even know what it means to have a father. And that's tough on everybody, right? It leads to a mother trying to raise children, multiple children, with no man. 27% live in poverty. And there's the emotional scarring. That's why God says, the author of the family in the book of Malachi, he says, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And why? Verse 15, and what does he desire? Godly offspring. So take heed to yourselves and let none be faithless to the wife of his youth. It scars children, scars everybody, really. Children are living in fractured homes. Besides all that, you got abortions. You still eat around the table together? A lot of families don't do that anymore. We got so much technology that it's robbed us of face-to-face relationships. Remember doing a family tree when you're in grade school? It was easy. It was a little project to do during recess. Now you need a PhD and to describe a jungle. I had a guy I sailed with in Maine years ago, a shipmate. He had like 40 brothers and sisters from his parents who had each like five spouses. And imagine doing the family tree there. So what I'm saying is there's an erosion of family in our culture. And I want to ask, has yours been touched? Have there been breakups in your family and stresses? When you face struggles, if your family's together, you stand on a rock. If they're broken, even when you face good times, it's like you're on shifting sandstone over a large precipice. And can you have a stronger family, a stronger marriage by God's help, and know the joy of that? We're going to talk about that. But before I do, I want to say something. When I was sharing this stuff with Beth, all these statistics, I said, but you know, Beth, family's always been in trouble. You can go back to these days of Happy Days and Flintstones and Brady Bunch TV shows, and yet families were still full of abuse and violence and sexual perversion and stuff back in the 50s, too. And she said, Beth said, yes, but you know the difference? I said, what? She said, the difference is that in the old days, if there was, say, a woman with multiple personalities, a gay son, an alcoholic father, our culture would look at that as problems to be addressed and helped and healed. Today, These are simply glorified and as alternative lifestyles. I thought that was a really good point. You know, in the old days with Little House on the Prairie, our families had trouble back then, but the ideal was that the family stays together and faces those troubles. Nowadays, when there is division and disorder and whatnot and gay lifestyles, these are alternative lifestyle choices, and they're glorified. So where do we look then for hope? All right. Answer? Back to the author of marriage and family. Back to God and to his holy word. You think we can find some good-looking families in here? All right. Well, let's consider a couple. Consider Abraham. Should we imitate his family? He was a man of faith. He was the father of the faithful, the father of many nations. He didn't have any son. God promised him a son. It took a while. So Sarai, his wife, says, "Let's take matters into our own hands, Abe. I got an Egyptian maid over here. Her name is Hagar. Go in and have sex with her and give me a child by her." Sound like a dysfunctional family already? Well, Abraham did. He went into the tent, had sex with her. They had children. She was his wife as well. Then Sarah eventually had a child, Isaac. The two children clashed, Isaac and Ishmael. And you think it's good to have two women in the house? Boom, they clashed with each other. Friends, this was not Little House on the Prairie. Abraham ended up having to send Hagar and Ishmael casts out into the wilderness to fend for themselves. It was a dysfunctional family right there in the Bible among a saint. But we'll probably find some better things in his offspring, wouldn't you think? Let's go to his son, Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. Let's go to Isaac. So Isaac had two sons. They were twins, Jacob and Esau. Isaac was 60 years old when she, his wife, that is Rebekah, bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Recipe for disaster? Happy days are here again. No, I don't think so. Is this happy days? One father is choosing one child, the other one loves the other child. What's that going to do? Fighting. Each parent chose their favorites. Then Jacob stole Esau's blessing. He had to run away from Esau so that Esau wouldn't murder him. I ask you, was this happy days? Is this Joni and Chachi? No, these guys are having problems. This was a messed up, dysfunctional family. So don't show favoritism over one child over another. God also says in Abraham's day, don't have sex with multiple women, right? You could say. How about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Jacob must be going better up the family tree, but it wasn't the Brady Bunch. Jacob, it says, loved Rachel. This is when he's off in Haran. And he said to Laban, his uncle, "I'll serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." And he did. He served 7 years to get Rachel as his wife. Genesis 29. Then Jacob said to Uncle Laban, "Give me my wife, that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. But in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, his uncle, "What is this you've done to me, uncle? Didn't I serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It's not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and I'll give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." Can you say with me, messed up?
Messed up.
Dysfunctional?
Dysfunctional.
And it goes on from there. Jacob now has two wives, their sisters. Talk about rivalry. Talk about desperate housewives. Then they have this struggle. Who can have more children? And then they begin giving their maids to Jacob as wife. So he's now got four wives. He gets 12 sons. This is trouble. A lot of fighting here. And the sons, when they grew up, what does it say? Jacob favored Joseph. He's repeating the sins of his father. He loves Joseph more than the others. So the other 11 get jealous. They want to kill him. They throw him into a pit. They sell him into slavery in Egypt. And they tell lies to their dad. Messed up. Right? These are saints. And yet dysfunctional in a lot of ways and functional in other ways. A lot of things we can emulate, but a lot of things we should avoid. And time would fail me. I'll just give you a brief summary here. David's family. David had multiple wives. Amnon, his son, slept with his sister Tamar, raped her, and Absalom killed Amnon. David slept with Bathsheba. Noah's son Ham uncovered his father's nakedness. Solomon, for all his wisdom, had 300 wives and 700 concubines, which means 1,000 mother-in-laws. Talk about a recipe for disaster. The Bible doesn't hold out one family for us as the perfect example. The difference between the Bible and TV shows is that, just like Beth said, the Bible shows these things to be sins, calls a spade, and shows that there are grievous consequences for this kind of stuff, fracturing, whereas our modern culture glorifies it. And so what's the good word for today? I'll tell you a good word. The good word is, if you have a dysfunctional family in some way, just like any of these saints, God can still work through that family to bless you. And he's not given up on you. God worked through the families of David and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Solomon and Rahab and the rest to bless them, and he can bless you. God hates dysfunction, but he loves still the people in the family. And let me share Beth's family growing up. She gave me permission to share this, had a lot of physical violence in her house. There were holes in the walls from the violence that was there. But you know what? God worked through that dysfunctional family. Her dad came to faith a few months before he died. Her mom several years before she died. Her brother and his wife are being healed. And Beth has a new life and joy in the Lord. And guess what? All that dysfunction, can't even say it, that she had early in life has welled up in her a compassion for a lot of the teenage girls in our community that are undergoing similar troubles. And she's able to minister to them, and she has a heart for that. And God is working through dysfunction to bless. He can do it with you. My family, my parents are together. They've been a Christian. They've been going to church pretty much every Sunday. But we had our troubles too. Both my sisters have had failed marriages. We have had dysfunction in our relationships. And yet God's working still through these to bless. And he can work in your family too to bless. And what does the author of life then say in his word? He actually tells us good things to do. He prescribes for us what a family is made of. And so let's look at the author of life, and what does he say about marriage and family? How does he want us to build our lives? Well, let me read to you from Deuteronomy 6. God says, "And these words, which I command you this day, shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, and you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." God wants our families to be built up on the Word of God. If you have a family that has the Word of God as its foundation, what a blessed family you have, amen? If your family needs to be stronger today than it has been in the past, put the Word of God into it. If your family is strong, put the Word of God into it. This is the rock. upon which God wants a family to stand. And there are many great examples of fantastic families, of functional, so to speak, families that are so super abundantly blessed because this word is in their mouths. They talk of it where they go. And I can bear witness in our family, the more we've done this, the more blessed we've been, where we talk. Naomi and I sit out at anchor on the boat under the stars and talk of it. We talk of it when we get up in the morning. We do, quote, Bible time, 5 or 15 minutes. Every night before we go to bed, we read the Bible and do prayer, etc. And how that has congealed, blessed, and strengthened our family. And so take out your pencils and write down first the word. You've got to put that into your families. And God, through the word, puts blessing into your families to stand strong together. The second thing he says to us is he wants us to pray. God says, ask me for help. I remember Rick Santorum, it said a few years ago, he's been attacked for this recently, but he said, Satan is attacking our country and has a design on its families to corrupt them. Rick Santorum said that. And I would agree. It's true. It's like you're in a wrestling ring with Hulk Hogan, Satan. You can't win. And yet, it's a tag team wrestling match. And if you go on your knees to the side of the ring and simply tag Andre the Giant, in he comes and dispatches Hulk Hogan for you. Have you neglected prayer in your families? Put yourself on your knees. God blesses families through prayer. He says, ask me, and I'll step in there and help. And I can bear witness in my life, in our marriage, Beth and mine, in 2003, we were having sideways jabs coming out of our lips. There was tension. Boom, boom. It was not like direct, but boom, cutting, boom, cutting, boom, cutting, boom, cutting. And it was difficult to work through. And then you know what I did? I wrote down prayers. I actually wrote them down, what I want. And I pray them all every day. Weave us together in Jesus Christ, the first strand of our threefold cord. He's the vine and we're the branches. Make me a great, godly, and loving husband. Beth, a great, godly, and loving wife, that we might live in all the fullness of life, love, and union that you've planned and desire for us, and we may be a blessing to all. Help us to truly love and cherish each other and have open communication, doing all things in the light in a relationship free from anger, fear, and guilt, rather abounding love, faith, trust, and joy. I pray that every day. And you know what? When I prayed that, within 2 weeks, I looked around and I was like, where'd the tension go? And we were loving each other. And we really have not had a problem since, and we've just been growing. Isn't that amazing? How we neglect prayer. Don't neglect prayer. Write that down. That's number two, prayer. Thirdly, God says, the author of marriage and family, forgive. Forgiveness has got to be at the heart of each family. Each night, what we practice in our home, I'll just bear witness again, it works, is that we forgive each other. At night, before we go to sleep, after we say prayers and do the Bible, we say, Beth, would you forgive me all my sins against you this day? Naomi, would you forgive me all my sins against you this day? Yes, Daddy, I forgive you. And yes, Greg, I forgive you. And then we each go around to each other and forgive each other. And then we all hold hands and say, God, please forgive us. You know what? The first time we did that a couple years ago, Naomi was like, it feels so good. And then we neglected it another night after that. And she's like, let's do that again because it feels so good. Do you know what? If your families were built on forgiveness and your marriages, it brings them together. It's what covers and re-glues that which was fractured. And I'm not going to go another word into this sermon until you promise me that you're going to start doing this every night. Will you do it? You will do it? I don't want an attempt. This is a Christian thing to do. As Christ has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Before you go to bed tonight, as a couple, you start the practice of forgiving each other. And if you have a young family or children, you teach them, tonight, my pastor said, do this, and I'll tell you, that's going to bless any family to forgive. Two more. There's time, God says. To spend time, you know, we got all this time-saving technology today. Internet, iPads, texting. You know what that does to us? Robs us of face-to-face time and communication. Time-saving has been time-robbing for the family. I loved the ideas of Little House on the Prairie, where they work together, they play together, they sit down to table together, they talk under the stars together. Can't you reclaim some of that, or is Satan too strong for you? You can reclaim it. And lastly, God says, love. In Colossians 3, verse 14, Paul says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That is God's design for the family. Harmony. Say that. Harmony. And it's love which binds you together. So put on love, for love comes from God. And are you alone today? Do you need help? Do you need healing? Is your family in trouble? Is your family strong? Could it be stronger? God blesses you with these things, and God, friends, has given you a new family, namely the church. And he wants you to be part of it. He promised in Abraham's day, I'll bless those who bless you, Abraham, and him who curses you, I'll curse. And by you shall all the families of the earth be blessed, all the families. And by Abraham's offspring, who is Christ, all families of the earth have been blessed. By his cross, he's redeemed us. He's forgiven you. He has given you his word. He's given you his time. He's given you his prayers. He has welcomed you. He has graciously adopted you as sons and daughters. And that's why Jesus says, who are my mothers and my brothers? Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. And if you are single today, or if you are married, or if you are a family, this is your family. This is the one that lasts forever, the church. With God as our Father, Jesus as our brother, each other as brothers and sisters and children of God in a house where righteousness dwells. And I'm looking forward to that day when in the coming ages, God our Father is going to show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, as he even does already today, every day. God bless you and your families. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He entered seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. You may be seated.